Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Hello, OTR fans. Thank you for joining us on this, the RTC Weekly Download. Well, we have something special for you today. This is a full-hour program. It is from Edgar Bergen. Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy. You'll remember that Edgar Bergen was a ventriloquist and Charlie McCarthy was his ventriloquist's dummy. But there was another dummy in that group that was probably closer to the name dummy. It was Mortimer Snerd, Charlie McCarthy's wooden friend. And today we're going back in time to New Year's Eve to discover what Mortimer Snerd did on his New Year's Eve. From January 3rd. 1956. This is Mortimer Snerd's New Year's Eve.
From Hollywood, it's the new Edgar Bergen Hour with Charlie McCarthy.
Now, Clippy Bergen, so help me, I'll mow you down.
Standard Ireland time again, transcribed for Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy with Mortimer Snerd, Effie Clinker, Gary Crosby, Carol Richards, Ray Noble, Jack Kirkwood, the Mellow Men, yours truly, John Heaston, and our special guest, Lou Ayres.
Oh, in a way, no way. Oh, should old acquaintance be forgotten? Dee-do-dee-do-dee-dee-dum. I forgot it too, yeah. Mortimer, yeah.
Here we are in the new year, 1955. Died last night.
It did?
Yeah.
Nothing serious, I hope. No.
No, it just died.
Well. Well, last night.
Last night.
You'll say they sure had a noisy funeral for it, didn't they?
Yeah. No, all I meant was the old year.
Yeah.
The old year is over.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Overwork. Just all over. Oh, there too.
Yeah. I suppose you know that you disappointed me last night.
Oh, that twerk nothing. Glad to do it any time. Yeah.
No, I mean, you made me a little sad.
Oh, that?
Yeah. You see, I gave a big New Year's Eve party, and there were lots of people there, and I had hoped that you would be one of us.
I'd be one of you?
Yes.
Which one?
Well, no, you see, at midnight, I was going to be Old Father Time and depict the passing of the old year.
Yeah.
And do you know what you were supposed to be?
I was supposed to be one of those kids?
Yeah.
little wristwatch. Yeah.
No, Father Time, you see, he doesn't have any children.
Oh, he doesn't?
No.
Well, how can he be a father? He's been celebrating too much, I think.
Well, you would have enjoyed the part you had to play, and it would be very easy. All you had to say was one line.
Yeah.
All you would have to say is, Happy New Year.
Yeah. Yeah.
You could remember that.
I imagine so. How does it go?
Well, it just went.
Oh, it just went. It just went, yeah. Well, that's the way it goes, yeah.
Anyway, you were supposed to appear at midnight wearing a ribbon which said 1956.
Oh, I see. I was marked down from $20.
Yeah, that's... No, that's the year 1956.
Oh, I see. What else would I wear besides the ribbon?
Well, very little else.
Oh, yeah? Oh, you mean you was going to have me come out there wearing my bathtub suit?
Yeah.
You want me to walk around kind of au gratin?
Yeah, I think so. Well, it was an acting opportunity.
No, I don't know about that.
Yeah, you could have shown your versatility.
No.
You know, everybody dressed up in a costume. Why, you could come in wearing a funny face.
Yeah, well, with me, there ain't no choice. I
Have you ever worn any kind of a costume?
Well, once, yeah, in a play, another fella, me, we went as a horse.
A horse?
Yeah, a horse. It was fun. Yeah.
What part of the horse did you play?
Yeah, well, that's the way it goes. I played the half that didn't smile much.
I see. Well, you know, you still haven't told me why you didn't show up at the party.
Well, I'll tell you, lucky thing I didn't come over.
Yeah?
Yeah, just as I was leaving, I went to say goodbye to my trained skunk.
Your trained skunk?
Yeah.
And what happened?
Well, he broke training.
Oh, he broke training. Good night.
Happy New Year!
Now for a vocal interlude, our vigorous and vivacious vendors of song, the Mellow Men, and let's start the new year right.
One minute to midnight, one minute to go, one minute to say goodbye. Before we say hello, let's start the new year right. 12 o'clock tonight, when they dim the light, let's begin
kissing the old year out, kissing the new year in.
Let's watch the old year die with a fond goodbye and our hopes as high as a kite. How can our love go wrong if we start the new year right? Here it is, the night to stay up late. Here it is, celebrate. Off with the old, on with the new. We're ready to go. Are you? Let's start the new year right. 12 o'clock tonight, when they dim the light, let's begin kissing the old year out, kissing the new year in. Let's watch the old year die with a fond goodbye and our hopes as high as a kite. How can our love go wrong if we start the new year right? If we start the new year right.
And now pull up your chairs a little closer, culture lovers. It is time for our Poet's Corner. And here is our distinguished guest of the evening, the poet laureate of the mobile gas grease rack, Professor William Makepeace Kirkwood.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Welcome, Professor. I thought we would open our first Poet's Corner of the New Year by quoting Chaucer's famous words. Yeah. The time that may not sojourn, but goeth and may never return, as Wattier... That dune renneth a, but never drop a return a may. Beautiful, beautiful.
Have you been drinking, boy?
No. Please, Professor, that was just a bit of old English.
Sounded more like too much old stag to me.
Professor, I've had enough.
You should have said that last night.
No, no.
You sure must have hung one on, you know.
I'm surprised at you, Professor, not recognizing the work of the great fellow poet like Chaucer.
Oh, yes. Chaucer. Oh, of course. I didn't hear you the first time. Why, he's an old pal of mine.
A pal of yours, huh?
Sure, old Chaucer boy. Why, I had dinner with him just last week.
With Chaucer?
Yes.
Uh-huh. For your information, Chaucer died over 500 years ago.
He did?
Yeah.
I thought he wasn't looking well.
I can understand that, yes. Well, we better get on, Professor. Have you created any new poetic masterpieces lately?
Oh, yes, boy. I've just begun work on a new epic poem. It starts, "Roses are red, violets are yellow."
Pardon me, violets are blue?
Violet washed hers and they faded. Violet's faded.
Yeah.
Ew, I think I pulled a bloomer there.
Now tell me, Professor, what kind of background does a poetic genius like you come from? For instance, what do your parents do?
Well, Dad has a big job down at the freight yard.
Yes?
Loading dice. And Mother is a shoplifter.
I see.
Or perhaps I should say an ex-shoplifter.
Oh, you mean she's reformed?
No, she's in the clink.
Oh. That's awful, I think.
Oh, it was a tough break.
Yeah.
She stole a portable radio, and just when she was walking past the store detective, her bustle started playing, "I'm Walking Behind You."
That's a shame. How long has your mother been incarcerated?
Well, that depends.
I suppose. Depends on what?
On what incarcerated means.
Oh. Well, it means, never mind, Professor. I think we won't go into that at all. I think it's better that you just go on with your poem for the evening.
Oh.
What do we have?
Yes. Well, I call this one Ode to Young Love.
Oh, yes.
When you and I were 17, remember, dear, I do, your gingham gowns and chestnut curls and laughing eyes of blue. Remember by the old mill pond, the time our lips first met, you taught me everything you'd learned of life and love, and yet you were so smooth. I never knew, alas, until too late, when you and I were 17, that you were 38.
Now here comes Carol Richards racing the Super Chief in on track 9 as she sings, "Let's Go Down to the Station."
Let's go down to the railroad station and stand in the waiting room there. We can hug and kiss in the railroad station and no one will even stare. But won't they be surprised at the railroad station when we don't go anywhere? Ha ha! We don't go anywhere. We can hug and kiss and kiss and hug. I'll admit it's a deep, dark plot. But when you're standing in a railroad station, you can get away with a lot. Ah, you can get away with a lot. Let's go stand on a pier in the harbor and hug and kiss some more. There's bound to be a boat that is leaving the harbor. That's what the harbor's for. But won't they be surprised when the boat sails away and we're both standing on the shore? Ha ha! And we're both standing on the shore. We can hug and kiss and kiss and hug. I'll admit it's a deep, dark plot. But when you're standing near a boat in the harbor, you can get away with a lot. Ha ha! You can get away with a lot. Oh, let's go out to the nearest airport and hug and kiss goodbye. We can hug and kiss for over an hour and no one will wonder why. But won't they be surprised when they find out that we don't intend to fly? Ha ha, we don't intend to fly. We can hug and kiss and kissing the hug, I'll admit it's a deep, dark plot. Cause when you buy a plane in the airport, or you're standing by a boat in the harbor, and when you're standing in a railroad station, you can get away with a lot. Ah, you can get away with a lot.
John, I understand you have a few well-chosen words for us.
Is someone you love suffering the torments of faulty hearing?
Yes, I said torments. Then here is wonderful news from the famous electronic laboratories of Zenith Radio Corporation. It's the new Zenith 50X hearing aid, a tiny, light, finest quality four-transistor hearing aid that sells not for $200 or $300 like many other makes, but for only $50 complete. This new $50 Zenith is so small, it hides behind a man's necktie, so light it can be worn in a woman's hair. It operates for 10 cents a week on one tiny battery. Its four wonder transistors give rich clarity and full power. Try the new 50X on a 10-day money-back guarantee. Remember, you can pay far more, but you can't buy a finer hearing aid than Zenith. See the five all-new Zenith models at your Zenith hearing aid dealers listed in your classified directory, or write to the station to which you are listening for the names of your nearest dealers. Lovers and would-be lovers, young and old, gather round as once again we bring you our Advice to the Lovelorn department. And here to guide you with her nuggets of romantic wisdom is the girl who wants to join the Canadian Mounted Police ever since she heard they always get their man, Miss Effie Clinker.
Happy New Year, Effie.
Well, you mean Happy Leap Year.
Happy Leap Year.
Yeah. It's here again, girls. Oh, goody, goody. It's like having a free hunting license.
Yes, I know. Well, here it is, 1956.
Yes, it is.
Was 55 a good year for you, Effie?
Well, now, I'll admit I made lots of mistakes.
You made mistakes?
Yes, I did. Especially with men.
With men, yes.
And don't think I didn't enjoy them.
I see.
Yes, Nick.
Yeah. What about the New Year's resolutions?
Well, last year I made a resolution not to go out with Rubirosa.
I see. And did you keep it?
No, but he did.
He did.
Yeah.
Well, good for him.
Yeah, tough for me.
Yeah. But, Effie, I hear that you were at quite a New Year's Eve celebration.
Yes, I did. Oh, what a night. And a strange man even put his arm around me.
No.
Oh, I didn't know him at all.
And he put his arm around you?
Yeah.
Well, of course you told him to take it away.
No, I didn't know.
Why?
Well, my mother said never to speak to strange men.
I didn't.
Oh, he was the nicest strange man.
Yeah, I probably just wanted to dance.
Yes, yes. Yes, let's say that, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I imagine you enjoy dancing.
Not like I used to, I must admit.
I see.
Dancing used to sort of fan the flame of romance in me.
Yes.
But now it only shakes down the ashes.
I...
But I will say we had a hilarious time.
Yes.
Very high.
Yeah. Effie, are you inferring there was an overindulgence at this party? You know, I thought you were on the wagon.
I am, but around holidays, I sometimes let one foot drag a little bit.
Yeah.
Had a little trouble hanging on the other night.
I see. You mean, Effie?
Yes, let's face it. By midnight, I was tighter than my girdle.
I see.
Effie. Yes. By 1 o'clock, I noticed the walls of the room were covered with spiders.
Yeah, were?
Oh, yes. And you know what?
No.
I spun a better web than any of them.
Did you finally retire?
Yes, around 3 a.m.
Yeah.
I fell asleep as soon as I hit the bed.
I'll bet you did. You should have done that, though, long before.
Yes, I tried to. I have never seen a bed so hard to hit.
I see.
Oh, you silly, silly girl, you.
Yeah. Well, we better get on to our Advice to the Lovelorn mailbag.
Yeah.
Yeah. The first listener writes, Dear Miss Clinker, I'm trying to decide whether to be an old maid or whether to get me a husband. What would you advise me to do?
Well, dearie, you have to decide which you want to do.
Yes.
Be an old maid looking for a husband every day, or get a husband and be looking for him every night.
How about this letter?
How about it, yeah?
Yeah. Dear Miss Clinker, how late should a girl stay up at night?
Don't ask me.
Yeah.
I was out after 2 last night.
You were?
Didn't catch either one.
I didn't. Another one. Dear Miss Clinker, do you ever go out with a man who kisses and tells?
Sure.
Yeah.
At my age, I need all the advertising I can get.
And this is the last letter we have time for. Dear Miss Clinker, the man I'm going with is very mean to me sometimes. What shall I do?
Well, my advice to her, dearie, is this.
Yeah.
Teach him a lesson he'll never forget. Marry him.
Yeah. Do you have any final advice for the ladies in our audience?
Yes, I do, girls. Be very careful when selecting a husband. Many women marry a man for life and find out he doesn't have any.
Yeah.
Now we present one of the great American musical classics, Basin Street Blues, as sung by our own dispenser of the blues, Gary Crosby.
Hey, won't you come along with me down to Mississippi? I will take a boat down to the land of dreams, steam down the river down to New Orleans, where the band's there to meet us. Oh, old friends to greet us. Ah, that's where the light and the dark will meet. Heaven on earth, they call it Basin Street. Oh, yeah, well, Basin Street is the street where the elite always meet, down in New Orleans, the land of dreams. You'll never know how nice it seems or just how much it really means. Where welcome's free and dear to me. Ah, where I can lose my Basin Street blues. Ah, come along with me down to Mississippi. Yeah, we gonna take a boat down to the land of dreams, steam down the river down to New Orleans. The band's there to meet us. Oh, old friends to greet us. Where all the light and the dark will meet. I want to tell you, Daddy, Basin Street. Oh, yes, well, Basin Street is the street where the elite always meet, down in New Orleans, land of dreams. You'll never know how nice it seems or just how much it really means. Yeah, glad to be. Oh, yes, sirree. Where welcome's free and dear to me. Ah, where I can lose my Basin Street blues. Oh, yes, daddy.
The Edgar Bergen Hour, transcribed with Charlie McCarthy, Mortimer Snerd, Gary Crosby, Carol Richards, Jack Kirkwood, The Mellow Man, and Ray Noble, will be back after station identification.
From Hollywood, it's the new Edgar Bergen Hour with Charlie McCarthy, Mortimer Sturt, Gary Crosby, Carol Richards, Jack Kirkwood, the Mellow Man, Ray Noble, and yours truly, John Heaston. And here they are now, Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy.
Oh, you ought to be in pictures. How'd you do, Charles?
Pip, cheerio, and as they say here in America, ooh, bang, jiggly, bang.
They don't say that here. They say jiggly, jang. You just don't dig it, Ray. Now, just hold that pose, Ray. Don't move. I want to get a picture of you with my new camera. Now, look at the 30. There you are, Ray.
Hello, Ray. Hello, Charlie. Hello, what's going on here?
Oh, I'm busy taking Ray. I mean, taking pictures of Ray. Oh,
so you're really having fun with your new camera? Well, I hope you've got some good pictures that you took of me last week, where I look sort of, sort of boyish.
I'm a photographer, not a miracle worker. Oh.
All right, behave yourself.
I did get one terrific picture of you coming out of the shower with only a towel around you.
Oh, with only a towel around me?
Yeah, sort of a pot shot, you might say. I got it right here. Just look at your chummy.
Chummy?
Yeah, it's part chest and part tummy.
Oh, I see. Did you get any good action shots of me?
Yeah, here's a wonderful picture of you combing your hair.
Oh.
With a magnifying glass in the other hand, yeah. Naturally, it's a glossy print.
Yes, I... That will do, young man. I don't want anyone to see these pictures. You understand?
I was hoping you would say that.
Yeah.
Now, do you want to see the others, or shall we start discussing turns?
What do you mean, turns?
Well, shall we say $30 for a starter?
Yeah. Hey, what do you take me for?
$30, I hope.
Yeah. No,
just a minute.
$30 for a few snapshots? That's ridiculous. Charlie, how does $5 strike you?
Strike me? It doesn't even muss my hair.
It doesn't. What price do you think is fair?
Fair?
Yes.
Now, let's not mess up this deal with ethics.
All right. I'll give you $2 a picture. That'll be $10. Now, here's the $10.
Yes, sir. And to show you there's no hard feelings, if you want any more at the same price, I still have the negatives.
Now, here's our young crooner who is growing up, but evidently not fast enough, Gary Crosby and the Impatient Years.
We're going through the impatient years, the years when the days seem twice as long. Restless and sighing, and laughing and crying, and dreaming a dream people say is wrong. Ah, but we'll journey through the impatient years to each other's arms where we belong. Clinging together, I'm certain we'll weather the warm and stormy, gay and impatient years. We're going through the impatient years.
The impatient years.
The years when the days seem twice as long.
Seems so long.
Restless and sighing,
and laughing
and crying,
and dreaming
a dream people say is wrong.
Why wrong?
Ah, but we'll journey through the impatient years to each other's arms where we belong.
In your arms where I
together. I'm certain we'll weather the warm and stormy, gay and impatient year.
Impatient and stormy.
The warm and stormy, gay and impatient year.
Ladies and gentlemen, tonight on the Meet the People segment of our show, we are highly honored in having with us one of Hollywood's most distinguished actors. He is the star of All Quiet on the Western Front, and more recently, the Dr. Kildare series, Johnny Belinda, and many others. However, for the past 2 years, he has been busy completing a film concerning a subject that is very close to his heart, the world's great religions. I'd like you to meet Lou Ayres.
Thank you, and good evening, everybody.
Well, Lou, we're very happy to have you with us this evening, and I understand that your color films on the world's great religions titled Altars of the East are now screening at the Carthay Circle Theater and meeting with great acclaim.
Well, thank you very much, Edgar.
And I think it's unusual that an actor of your stature in the motion picture industry should leave the screen to make a religious series. How did this happen? Was it a long-time dream with you?
Well, no. Making the pictures was an idea that occurred to me only a couple of years ago. But for many years, I've been interested in the world's great religions and have studied their basic doctrines for a long time.
Yes. Lou, what actually did you set out to do when you decided to make these films of the world's great religions?
Well, of course, I started to make only one film.
Oh,
but the materials were so vast and the subject is practically endless that it eventuated into a film 5.5 hours long without even touching on Christianity.
Well, what religions do you include in the series?
Well, the first section presents Hinduism, Sikhism, Jainism, and a sequel on the Parsis. And the second evening deals with Buddhism as practiced in Siam, Burma, China, and Japan. The same program also includes Taoism and Shinto. And the third evening is devoted to Judaism and the religion of Islam.
Well, Lou, could you give us a brief description of some of these religions? Well,
I suppose we could try, Edgar, but it's a tough assignment.
Just give us a general idea. Now, for instance, the Wheel of Karma. Isn't that right, Wheel of Karma?
Yes,
Hinduism.
Yes.
Well, what about that?
Well, it's one of the oldest living religions, Edgar, dating from about 3,000 B.C., confined to the people of India, supporting the caste system, has 300 million followers, teaches one supreme god with a host of lesser gods. Its principal beliefs are the laws of karma and reincarnation.
Yeah, now, what is the meaning of those last two laws, then, Lou?
Well, karma is divine justice. The doctrine of reincarnation states that each man must be reborn on earth countless times until he has succeeded in perfecting himself.
Now, what about Jainism?
Now, that's a reform on Hinduism. It began about 2,500 years ago. It outlaws the caste system and Hindu rituals. Today, it has about 2.5 million followers whose principal concern is the doctrine of non-injury to any living thing.
Now, what about Buddhism?
Well, it's also a reform on Hinduism and also started in India about 2,500 years ago. Supposedly has about 500 million followers throughout Asia. And does not teach about God at all. Yet believes in man's immortality and claims we all will be born again and again until we have perfected our souls.
Well, just how does one do this?
According to the Buddhists, by renouncing all the pleasures and concerns of life on earth.
I see. And then, this then makes a person eligible for heaven.
Well, you could say that. They call it nirvana, Edgar.
I see. And what would you say about this Islam?
Oh, well, that's said to be the fastest growing religion in the world today. It has about 350 million followers of the teachings of Muhammad, and was born in Arabia around 500 A.D. They accept many Jewish and Christian prophets and teachings, although they have their own interpretation in scripture.
Uh-huh. And then there is, you mentioned, yes, the Koran.
Oh, that's what they call the scripture. That's right.
Now, what about, Taoism, Daoism?
Yeah, Taoism, that's right.
Isn't that Chinese?
It is. And these were the teachings of a philosopher named Laozi who lived about 500 B.C. His followers made it a religion after his death. I have the Taoist Pope on the film, by the way.
Oh. Well, here's one more, Lou. What about Shinto?
Shinto means way of the gods, Edgar, and this refers to all the kinds of religion and folklore which were specifically originated on the Isles of Japan.
Now, you have film sequences on all these subjects that we've talked on?
Much more than this, Edgar.
Well, I understand you interviewed the religious leaders of the world, too. What were some of the questions that you asked them?
Oh, I wanted to know what they felt about religion as a unifying force for world peace and what they felt their part might be. Also, what were the central teachings of their religions?
Now, just why have you devoted so much of your time to the study of the world's religions?
Oh, Edgar, we search for answers to life's problems in many ways. The arts, the sciences, and they help. But for final answers, we must turn to religion, more than any other field.
Okay. What, in your opinion, is responsible for the resurgence of interest in religion today?
Some of it, I believe, has to do with the world's spiritual insecurity.
Yes.
Life has become so urbanized. We seem to be living in the midst of billions of strangers, and one of the questions we ask ourselves is, can I matter, or who am I in all this crowd?
And a return to religion can help.
Well, perhaps a spiritual awakening, you might say, a return to basic faith could help to answer such questions.
Now, what do you think is the outlook for the future of the world as to religion and peace?
Oh, who knows? That's a very big question. Certainly we have it in our power today to destroy ourselves. Destruction could come in a way we've never known before. It's pretty grim. I think we have that much freedom. However, my own inner faith in the presence of God inclines me to the optimistic view. I also think it's up to each of us to do what he can to prevent this catastrophe.
Well, two of our popular national magazines, Life and Look, have been publishing articles on the world's great religions and explanation of what the various Christian denominations mean.
Yes, such information can be most valuable in helping to give a better understanding of other people's viewpoints.
Isn't that one of the main objectives you had in making your films, Lou?
Well, that's part of it, sure. At least one can always hope. Surely tolerance is good and understanding between men is good. Mm-hmm. Perhaps in a very modest way, these films will help to promote world peace.
Well, now, what about your future plans? I know that you're going across the country appearing with this, with the films now, but certainly you haven't deserted motion pictures, have you?
Oh, no. Right now, you're right. I'm thinking only of getting these pictures launched. But if the right kind of a role came along, I'd enjoy it. Why not?
You mentioned that you had not yet touched on Christianity. Will you make another religious film?
Well, I plan two more projects, one on Christianity and one on the development of religions from the most primitive form up through the more highly evolved concepts of worshiping God. Mm-hmm. Of course, that would take us through Africa and many of the Pacific Islands.
And those, I imagine, would be made after your present films have been successfully screened around the country.
That's my hope.
Well, we certainly hope with you, Lou Ayers. But I don't think you've been giving quite a fair break to your films. What I'm trying to say is I think you're much too modest about your film tonight. And I'd just like to quote what the critic of the San Francisco Examiner thought about your inspiring film, Altars of the East. He says, quote, "Something different, something engrossing, something grippingly fascinating from start to finish, a remarkable feat, stirringly beautiful," unquote. I think that's pretty good. That's what one critic said, and the audience are agreeing with that feeling nightly. Thanks for being with us tonight, and good night to you, Lou.
Thanks, Edgar, and good night, everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, with the increasing trend towards medical shows on TV, as well as the actual performance of surgical operations before the cameras, it is very possible that before long we'll be having television hospitals, staffed by doctors who have had 4 years of medical school, a year of voice study, and 2 years of tap dancing with Arthur Murray. So come along with us as our special events department gives you a look into the future, and we visit Dr. McCarthy's television hospital. A staff rehearsal is in progress as we enter.
We're the MDs of TV, the stars of screen and surgery. We operate on Channel 3. Cut, cut, cut. We're the doctor's video. If your appendix has to go, come to us for the opening show. Slice, slice, slice.
Why, Liberace plays a candelabra sonata. We tenderly remove your entire gallbladder.
We'll sew you up with an argyle stripe. Or with three buttons if you're the Brooks Brothers type.
We're the MDs of TV, the stars of screen and surgery. We operate on Channel 3. Saw, saw, saw. We snip tonsils by the stack, remove your sacroiliac, and what's left over we put back. Whack, whack.
doctor in the house?
Dogs on TV.
Dr. McCarthy's Television Hospital. Oh, it's you, Dr. Harris. Oh, quick, tell me, how did the operation come out? Oh, this is awful. Terrible. The patient lived, but our rating went down, eh? What? We're 6 points behind? This is your knife? We gotta do something, Doctor. Got to do something. Ah, nurse, send Dr. Noble immediately. I don't care. This is important. Tell him to drop everything. Oh, I didn't know he was operating.
How do you do, Dr. McCarthy?
Yes, Dr. Noble, we've got a terrible emergency.
Yes?
Brace yourself, fellow. Our rating has fallen.
Oh, heavens, Sir Betty Furness.
Yeah.
Chief, I think our only solution is to turn our next operation into a quiz show.
A what?
Yes, a quiz show. It'll be a smash. We'll call it You Bet Your Liver.
No, a quiz show won't help us. Don't you remember what happened to our last one? Take it or we'll inject it. Remember that one?
All right. Well, how about a dramatic show? Four Scar Playhouse.
No.
Well, we could get Humphrey Bogart and do the Novocaine Mutiny.
Oh, cut it out, will you, Doctor? Cut it out.
Oh, that reminds me, old boy. I've got a patient on the operating table. Oh. Well, pip, pip, tally ho, and Forest Lawn.
He must be sniffing his own ether. What am I going to do to raise our TV rating? Yes, what is it? The new intern from CBS is here. Well, send her right in. Maybe a beautiful face will do the trick, too.
Hello, I'm Dr. Richards.
Yeah. Down, blood pressure, down. How about a kiss, honey?
A kiss, please. Remember, you're a doctor. And I'm a doctor.
Haven't you heard of socialized medicine?
Oh, you're quite an operator.
Yeah, that's me. Charles McCarthy, MD, PhD, and a little fiddledy-dee.
Oh, please, doctor.
Yeah?
I hear you want me to help with your TV operation tonight.
This is right, yes. Dr. Richards, I've checked you, and you've had best marks in medical school. And here's your outfit.
Oh, doctor, isn't this going too far? A bikini operating gown?
Yeah, you see, I also checked that you had the best legs, too. I'll do anything to raise our rating.
Doctor, you seem desperate.
I am. You see, our hospital network is going to pot. Here, I'll switch you to our studio viewer, just to show you the type of programs we're turning out lately. They're not good, you know.
And now, Dr. McCarthy's TV Hospital brings you another heartwarming episode in the life of Becky Hockenridge, girl patient. The real-life drama of one woman's fight against hangnails.
Hangnails? Yes, office ball budgeted show. I'll try another channel, another studio here.
Hurry up, folks. The clock is ticking. You only have 2 minutes left.
Dr. McCarthy, what's happening? Look, there are 200 people operating on one patient.
Well, that's our audience participation show. It's awful. Our programs are so bad, they could even make a germ sick. Yes. Huh? He's here? Oh, our guest surgeon for tonight's show. Good, send him in.
A guest surgeon?
Yes. We brought him directly from Vienna. The great Leopold von Volkswagen. What an honor.
Is this the place?
Yeah, this is the place, yeah.
Are you really the eminent Dr. Volkswagen?
Yeah, with white ball tires. I just came from a very unusual operation. I removed a man's tonsils, liver, and kidney.
And what was so unusual about that, Doctor?
He had measles. But while I was at it, I cut out the spots.
You cut out the spots?
Yeah, you should see him now. When he drinks water, he leaks like a shower.
Sounds like a good actor. But what do you do for an encore?
Oh, that's simple. Blindfolded, I remove anything the audience requests. Mm-hmm. Last week at Low Sauerbraten, I took out 4 gallstones, an appendix, 3 livers, and 4 adenoids.
I don't believe it.
You don't? I show you my scrapbook.
Oh, doctor, you're certainly happy at your work. You seem so effervescent.
Did you ever see me when I ever wasn't?
I something Pinky Lee instead. Now, look, Doctor, we need something sensational for our show tonight. Now, what are you going to do?
Well, tonight I'm going to demonstrate a new surgical technique for closing an incision.
Yeah?
It's called the Rachmansrasche Achtun Finsterwalder Habendergabengerwurstverein method.
Well, Doctor, just what does that mean?
Knit one, pearl two.
That keeps the patients in stitches.
Keeps the patients. Maybe this is not the right place.
McCarthy, calling Dr. McCarthy. You're wanted in studio surgery. Your show is ready to go on.
Oh, good, good. Come on. Places, everyone. We're on the air.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Charlie McCarthy's Television Hospital presents your Sunday evening operation with special guest stars Dr. Carol Richards and Dr. Leopold von Volkswagen, sponsored by Sludge-O Soap.
Good evening, everybody. We are ready to start the operation. Doctors, let's wash.
When I wash, I always use Sludge-O Soap.
Yeah, Sludge-O Soap contains that new magic ingredient, dirt.
It's the perfect soap for clean people who have nothing to do on Saturday night.
Oh, Sludge-O Soap, it doesn't wash, it doesn't float, it doesn't slush, it doesn't clean, it doesn't scrub. It's just good company in the tub.
And now, on with the operation. Here is tonight's patient, Mr. Gary Crosby.
I'm sick, doctors. You must help me. I've got fever, chills, a headache, a backache. I'm dizzy, and I've shooting pains and a sore throat.
How do you like that? Them that has gets. It looks like an emergency. We better check his throat. Take over, Dr. Volkswagen.
Yeah, tongue depressor.
Tongue depressor.
Probe.
Probe.
Somebody with a long finger.
Doctor, never mind my throat, Doctor. It's my stomach that hurts.
Oh, good. We'll operate immediately.
What about an anesthetic?
This is only a half-hour show. We don't have time. Here, take a couple of sleep ease tablets.
Oh, sure.
Now, I think we should cut right here. I'll mark an X.
No, Doctor. I think we should cut over here. I'll mark an X.
And I mark an X here. But then I draw the line. I win!
Please. Please hurry. Do something.
Yes, of course. Yes. All right. Scalpel.
Scalpel.
But, Doctor, these instruments are rusty.
Yes, I know, but they show up better that way on television. Suture.
Suture.
Alcohol.
Alcohol.
Vermouth. Vermouth? Want me to drink this stuff straight?
Doctor, I'm sinking fast.
Uh-oh. Clamp.
Clamp.
Iodine.
Iodine.
I'll have some more vermouth. Mm.
Shut up.
Shut up.
No, I mean...
Hurry, Doctor.
And we gotta work fast. Gauze.
Gauze.
Song.
Song.
Song?
Sure. We always finish the operation with a big musical number. Hit it, Dr. Noble.
We hope this operation is not a dud. We've been messing around with muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. And please do your groaning in the microphone. You hear 16 groans, and what do you know? There ain't an anesthetic in the studio.
I say, Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I have to stay to the end of the show.
When we operate, you better step aside. A lot of men didn't, and a lot of men died. One knife of iron, the other of steel. If the right one don't get you, the left one will. Here's 16 groans, what do you think? You may lose your liver, so better not blink.
St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. There's a coal in my head, they forgot to sew.
So, here's the TV show.
and they call his dad the groaner. Well, the operation is over. We removed everything. Tell us, Mr. Crosby, just what was wrong with you?
Nothing.
Nothing?
That's right. I just wanted to be on television. Hello, Dad. Hi, Lynn. I'll be right home.
That's what he thinks.
We're the cut-ups of TV. We operate hilariously. Every Sunday night you'll see us kill 'em on Channel 3.
Now comes the time for a mighty pleasant chore indeed, as we welcome a brand new sponsor to the show, and a very distinguished sponsor at that, the makers of CBS television sets. So here is John Heaston to help me roll out the welcome mat for the CBS TV sets.
And a pleasure it is indeed. You know, Edgar, it's a real privilege to tell folks about CBS TV sets, because they're made by a division of the Columbia Broadcasting System, and nobody but nobody knows more about TV than the CBS people. They've been leaders in broadcasting for over a quarter of a century. And that name, CBS, on a TV set means it's got to be the best. They're built to CBS standards, the tough standards of broadcast engineers themselves. So why don't you go down to your dealers and take a look at these great new 21 and 24-inch CBS TV sets. Check them out for looks, for features, and for performance. You'll see why they're called the first luxury sets in the popular price field. You can get a brand new 21-inch CBS TV set for only $169.95. So make your next set a better set. Make it a CBS. And now, here is Edgar Bergen.
And now it's time for another bit of sage advice from our rural philosopher, Mortimer. And here he is with Snurd's Words for the Birds.
When breathing, always use your lungs.
Until next Sunday, good night, everyone.
Remember to listen to Edgar Bergen with Charlie McCarthy, Mortimer Snurd, Ray Noble, and the entire ensemble next Sunday at the same time. Tonight's Edgar Bergen Show with Jack Kirkwood, Carol Richards, Gary Crosby, and the Mellow Men was produced and transcribed in Hollywood by Sam Pierce. Script by Cy Rose, Hilda Black, and Zeno Klinker. This is John Heaston speaking.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.